Sean, how have the Clay Lacys and the Bob Hoovers affected your life?
If it wasn't for Bob Hoover, I wouldn't be alive. I mean, number one, and if it wasn't for Clay Lacy and that group, that Rat Pack, I call them, of the greatest of all times, they really instilled in me a reverence for the art form of aerobatic flying, a reverence for the art form of thrilling an audience, inspiring an audience, taking to the edge of edges that don't cross that edge, don't traumatize an audience. And these guys, and we were just talking, Clay and I were talking about backstage about the scrapes Bob's did in, and we were at the NBAA last November, and they're doing a Bob Hoover presentation, and Clay said, you know, nobody would have bet that guy would live this long.
You know, that brings up a point. I mean, any movie we see about Bob, you see the number of accidents he had. Now, as a test pilot, why was that? What was it about what he was doing that he would get himself, as good as he was, that he would get himself into those scrapes? What was going on in his work world that he wound up having those accidents?
Well, I think so much of the time that Bob was finishing up a test that someone else, other people had gotten a point and didn't push it any further. And because like the time he spun a F-100 in, there's just no way to get that thing out. It went to the ground, but he got out. He was lucky. I don't think he got out until below 10,000. And I think also in some of these cases, he knew how to get out a little bit lower altitude, or at least would press it to a lower altitude, get out of it at 2,000 instead of at 10,000.
Would anybody ever give him advice about flying?
You know, you remember when Bob was doing, when he got commissioned and he got to do all that test flying in Africa? He was having engine outs, none of the airplanes were working.
That was in the military, and he wanted to be fighting combat, but he was flying planes they were just putting together in North Africa. Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is that is what gave him that touch, that gift of flying the airplane. Like Kim said it so well, Kim first on the feathered edge. Bob knew how to fly just about any airplane on the feathered edge because he was a student of the art form. Bob was a student of the art form of flight to the day he died. He always was paying attention.
Well, how many other pilots do you know like that? Lacy?
All of us should aspire to the commitment and excellence that the pioneers went through. Clay's alive today because he's always searching for excellence. All of us as aviators, should be incumbent upon us, our responsibility, not to leave one stone unturned, how not to be better, always searching for perfection, and then we do achieve excellence.
Right. I mentioned that you'd flown over 300 types of aircraft, Bob as well, of course. What does it take in an aviator to be able to literally just walk and jump from airplane to airplane to airplane of all different sorts, types, sizes, and be able to fly them not only competently, but really well? What does it take to be able to do that?
Well, I think, a good understanding of aviation, of course, but I think that Sean will back me up on this. If you really understand airplanes, you can take an airplane you've never flown before and look at it, walking out to pre-flying, like around, and you pretty well know how it's going to fly, and you don't get many surprises. I think Sean probably rarely gets a surprise on an airplane that flies totally different than he thought.
What about, Sean, this man's legacy, not as a pilot, but just as a person?
You know, this, we're talking about our mom here, and the greatest generation, I mean, really, I mean, it's just all of them, all of them. He's a little young, but I consider Clay part of his greatest generation. He's one of our greatest aviation entrepreneurs we've ever had. Bob had a reverence for life. He had an iron will and a tenacity, never to give up, never to weaken. And Bob was relevant to the day he died. Absolutely relevant. He was always there to get advice. He was always there to do the heavy lifting in the aviation world, to be the guy. You know what kind of responsibility that is to always be the guy? And he just took it because he felt he received so many gifts and so many successes from the community at large. Bob, Clay is absolutely right. Bob had never, ever once would say something, a bad word behind somebody's back, wouldn't say it to his face. His commitment to his wife, in her final years when Pauline was ill, we'd go on a road trip, and we'd go on a road trip, I gotta get home with Pauline, but he would make his commitment to the aviation community because he knew he was that important to this community. He knew, and he stuck with it until his last year, and after Pauline passed, he kind of was finished. I saw him 2 days after she passed, and he's just sitting there. I don't want to live anymore. I'm done. I wanted to stay alive until Pauline, I wanted her to die in peace in our home, and I did that. And I said to him, I said, Bob, that's your choice. And you have every right, you know, the pains. He's done his whole life. And I said, but you know, we still need you. And you just have to make a decision. Do you want to carry that? Do you want to carry, do that, keep doing the heavy lifting? So he called me up 2 days later. Well, I thought about it. And I was hurt in Iraq when I bailed out. My legs were broken. And I'm laying in the desert, that cold desert. And I knew my plane was 20 miles away, and they're searching there, and I knew I was going to die in that desert. Well, if I can survive here, I'm going to survive this. I want to live.
Well.
And he went out, and he spent that rest of that year saying goodbye. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that rest of that year, he knew that he's hanging on until he says goodbye to every single one of his friends.
Yeah. Year 2000, turn of the century, he went with me on a trip. I flew in my 727 to Midway Island to see the old year out and the new year in.
Dateline.
Right. And I mean, all these things, I just admired him so much and had so much fun. The things he would say were really funny, but they were serious. You'd have to kind of listen to get the punchline sometimes, but he was great, just great.
What do you miss about him?
He was a fellow performer. Before he retired, I think I got 12, 15 years line shows, so I learned so much about that. He was a dear friend, he was a mentor, and he was a partner. So there's a lot of things I miss. I miss his voice. You know, just call him, see how you're doing. You know, he'd never tell you he's hurting. He's all beat up. In fact, I didn't want him to go to Reno last year because he's frail, right? And he's frail. This guy is frail. I said, Bob, you can't go to Reno. Sean, it'd be my 55th Reno. Forget about me. I'm going to Reno. I said, Bob, and so anyway, he's going to Reno. So I called Bob up. I said, you in Reno yet? He said, well, I have a little problem getting on a jet. I broke a toe and I'm bleeding all over the airplane. So give me some new shoes. I'll be to Reno in a couple hours. He had a blast. And then I finally figured out, he's going to do it. He's not going to listen to me. He's going to do exactly what he wants.
Right.
I don't think Bob ever listened to anybody. He does exactly what he wants, you know? And what's so great about that, and I think what's so great about tonight is there's all but a little bit of Bob Hoover in us, because we, and you gotta keep that nugget, because that's how you define yourself. And by having these evenings, having, remembering Bob and honoring him, take him in your life and be a little bit like him, because he has made the world a better place in many, many ways. And he knows he was very fortunate. He knows that he was given a gift, and he didn't refuse that gift.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Clay. It's great to see you. Sean D., great to see you as always. Gentlemen, you had two great aviators right here. Let's miss the room.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. You know, there are moments like this. Remember this one. Both because we're remembering Bob, but remembering these two guys and how important Bob was to these two great aviators as well. This is a very special night.